Bill Gayden's with us this morning. He is a training facilitator for Jean Don. He's been with us any number of times. He is our man in the cleaning and maintenance industry. And good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, Dave, if I any better, I couldn't stand it.
Yes. I really love the title, training facilitator.
I think I mentioned before that I made that term up, and it's difficult to tell what are the responsibilities of a training facilitator. So when everybody ever asks, is Bill doing the job? We go, we're not sure what Bill's job is.
Well,
it's
got
me this
good.
Far. It's got me this far. I'm not going to quit now.
I think more people should try to come up with a title that you can
exactly.
gain. Like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you about cleaning and carpet cleaning, basically.
Yes.
Residential carpet cleaning in this whole pandemic area. Has that been something that people have wanted, or has that been something they don't want people in their house?
Well, I'll tell you what, the first 2 months, and we really start with March is kind of like the time when everybody kind of got all, you know, closed down, locked down and everything. Our business really just dropped to nothingness, just like a lot of other businesses in March. April, we had a few that started picking up, but it wasn't actually until the end of April, May, where things really started going. And people, you know, we missed out on our spring cleaning, which is usually our biggest time of the year. So we had a lot of buildup. We had a combination of that. And we had a combination of some of the people were thinking, oh, we're in trouble and we need somebody to come in and clean out this nasty, horrible virus. Right. And that's we have all kinds of stuff, but most of the industry really didn't know how to proceed.
Now, the main reason that I wanted to have this conversation, everybody is in a bundle about COVID.
Yes.
And we see retail operations, especially, convincing
yes.
their customers that they have cleaned their store. And
yeah.
I suspect that cleaning contractors are doing a land office business. And I suspect that
yes.
a carpet cleaning contractor would see that as an opportunity. Is that happening, and are they trying to get in the business?
Oh, definitely. Well, that's a pretty big subject there, Dave, because yes, we have the ones that are knowledgeable that have been in a similar business, whether that's going to be water restoration, mold, or forensic cleaning. Those people were all prepared to go in and do anything that was necessary. Then we had the other side of the industry that just said, there's money out there, right? And how do I get into this? And they call us up and everything, especially John Don. We sell all the stuff for this. So they want to know, hey, how can I get one of those and what do I need to do? Well, number one, you need to back your rear end back up here and start from the beginning. You aren't ready for this. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I know everything to do. So it has been on one side, we know we can be very helpful. We're an essential business. On the other side, we have people out there that are just going to try and take advantage of a bad situation.
Well, they want to capitalize it, and they don't really know what's involved, I guess.
And I'll tell you what, Dave, most of the industry doesn't know what's involved. And even besides the actual technical aspects of how do I apply a disinfectant, what type of tool do I use, how long is the dwell time, all those things are just the technical side. Are you ready with your insurance? In other words, over 90% of the industry does not have the correct insurance to be applying disinfectants, even in the best of times. There are the EPA guidelines basically say, you know, how long this can be used, what can be used, how is it applied. And then what the insurance companies do, man, they jump right in and start putting all these disclaimers in. And as soon as you get away from, say, standard cleaning, they don't cover you.
Oh, you know, really?
One of my good friends who is another instructor, he told me that up in his area, there was actually a school where somebody that didn't know what they were doing came in and just fogged the heck out of the place with disinfectant and left so much residue on the keyboards that the poor kids were getting sick from the amount of residue on that. So, you know, there's a lawsuit that I'm hoping that company goes out of business because we don't need that in our industry.
So, when a carpet cleaning contractor goes out on a job and he is dealing with COVID, say in a retail store.
Yeah.
And I see on a lot of these ads that they're trying to convince consumers that they're taking precautions so it's safe for them to come in. And you see them wiping down things and so on. What in essence should a carpet cleaner slash, what do you call this other one? What do you call the people who go out and disinfect?
The best way to call it is a sanitization or That would be your best way, because that is an EPA registered term and it speaks to it specifically what you do on soft surfaces, not just hard surfaces.
Okay. So somebody goes out and is doing this function. What in essence do they do? I mean, if you were hired by a retail store and he wants to make it pristine for his customers, what in essence does he do?
Well, in other words, the first thing they need to do, unless they know that they had a positive case in that building, we go in there and just like when we wash our hands, it's the same thing. We know that the virus is actually what they call a lipid, which just means a fatty molecule around a protein, and soap takes care of that, just like it does on our hands. So coming in and doing your basic cleaning process, which is vacuuming, and then your pre-spray usually for your cleaning, and then your detergent in there, especially with hot water, the hotter the better, that destroys the actual term we use is inactivates the virus.
Oh, I see.
Right. So now we can also go through and do all the touch areas and that, but you got to remember that all we're doing is taking care of what's there now. So as soon as somebody walks into this building that has doesn't know they have it, but they go in and start coughing and touch an elevator knob or a door or a counter, then all bets are off. Whatever you did 15 minutes ago doesn't really mean anything. So a lot of this is more of a psychological cleaning so that the retailer can say, what we've done. And a lot of the different companies now have got special stickers that put up there and say, this building has been cleaned by such and such. This building has been sanitized. You know, and there's all kinds. And this really gets into marketing.
Yeah. I always wonder, what does sanitize even mean? I looked it up before we talked, and it's sort of a nebulous type definition.
So basically what it does, it means that it kills germs, all right? Up to a certain level, you're somewhere up around that 99%. The difference between that and disinfecting really is in the total amount that's killed and what it kills. And what you're actually looking at, if you look at an EPA-registered disinfectant, on the back of the label, it will list every type of bacteria, virus, whatever, that it has been proved to kill and destroy up to the 99.99% level.
Okay.
The difference is that we can legitimately sanitize carpet. We cannot disinfect. Although we may apply a disinfectant to carpet, it is now called a sanitizer. Difference between that and hard surfaces. Because in carpet, as we know, there's too many places to hide any type of bacteria, virus, or fungus of any sort.
So it sounds like the contractor that goes in and he is making it clean for customers, he has a big education hurdle to clear with his customers, sounds like to me.
It is huge, and I think it's a step-by-step process. And what we have to look at is that even if you are applying a disinfectant, you're supposed to clean the surface first. And that kind of the people that are just trying to get in and out and make a lot of money don't want to go through the preliminary steps, which are critical to the product working. They just want to come in with some big old fog or make a bunch of fog in the room and go, look, where's my money? And unfortunately, there's too much of that going on.
I see in these ads also, I mean, and I know you've seen them, you see people with a rag and a spray bottle. What are they doing?
they're making you feel like they did something. You know, here's the whole thing about that, Dave, is that the proper way to do that is that, of course, it has to say on the label of that product that you can apply it by a towel, right? But when you have a towel, you can fold that over in 8 squares. So if I have your desk in front of me and I am spraying that on your desk, number one, I got to see how long does it have to stay dwell time on your desk to be effective. Then I take that square, go across it and wipe it up. And as soon as I come across the end of your desk and want to take the next section, I fold it over to one of those other eight layers. So I can use that eight times. But you know, when you go into a restaurant, even before all this came up, how do they usually clean your tables?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one they've been using for 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Throw in their back pocket, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
I happened to go into a retail store yesterday to pick something up. And I looked, and it was a store I'd never been into. And of course, they had all the dividers and everything. So I walked up to this counter. Oh, wait, I haven't done everything and I haven't turned the light on. And so I see her go, psh, psh, light on. I thought, it's always the trouble about knowing something. You'll be much better. Ignorance truly is bliss sometimes. I know you did nothing other than make me believe you did something. Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of this is, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
However, this is a capitalist society and people see opportunity and take advantage of it. I guess you had mentioned earlier, if somebody who had COVID was in there, that's one thing. But I would say in most cases, the majority of cases, there probably was nobody in there with COVID in the first place.
No. And in most situations, let's say that you had in the early days, maybe you shut down a hotel for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. Well, it's already gone anyway. All you need to do is just come in and clean, right? Because it doesn't last that long. And we know they keep changing how long it can stay alive, if you want to call it that, on different types of services.
So our friend, the carpet cleaning contractor, decides he's going to get into this cleaning / sanitation business.
Yes.
What does he have to do to be legitimately prepared? And again, I want to also ask you about commercial and residential, and I suspect there's different requirements.
And I think what it is that, first off, to be ideally set, he should have already had a couple of certifications in things like water damage, which means we deal with the disinfectants a lot there. Any type of forensic cleaning, which usually meant body cleanup, but it also means anything to do with microbial action of any sort and different types of bacteria. And just the basic understanding of cleaning. And now we've got some newer organizations that have come about. ISSA was a big international group, and they have brought in a new group called GBAC, which is Global Biorisk Advisement Council, right? And they put some really good things online, short little things about 3 hours long, and a little test that goes along with it to basically give you the understanding of PPE, what you should be wearing when you are applying different things. And should the consumer be in the room while we're doing these types of things? And what we're trying to teach them right now is that unless you know there was an issue, then just good old everyday cleaning with hot water extraction and a good detergent is going to take care of whatever's there.
Okay. If somebody wants to get certified, you call that.
Yeah.
How long are we talking about and how expensive is it?
I would say depending on how far you want to go along with it. In the early days of this, you can get some of the courses for $300 or so. And the one that's online is only like 3 hours. Now that's going to give you the most basic of the basics, right? If you want to go into these other things, and we go into where they spend a tremendous amount of time, just how to don and doff, which is just put on, take off a Tyvek suit, and all your goggles and gloves and all the other things and how you tape. That is a hands-on course where they'll just spend hours. And the funny part about that is one of the classes, what they do to prove that you took it off without touching anything, they smear your Tyvek suit in Hershey's chocolate. So when you're all done and they want to see the hands, kind of like remember when we were kids, look, mom, no mess. So it's kind of the same things today. So those things are going to take a lot longer. I really think today, once live classes start again, anybody that wants to do this either in the fall or the next time we have issues, they should be going to live classes, which will probably take them the better part of a week.
How long do you think, and I'm sure there have been people that are doing that have been doing cleanup for years and years and years.
Sure.
But to the degree that they're doing it now in the midst of COVID, I mean, how long is that going to last? Two years from now, is anybody going to care?
And I hope I'm wrong on this date, but I think we'll be dealing with something similar to this probably over the next several years. And I think that anybody that wants to go into this, it's a specialty. So it's like any other industry. When you are a specialist, you can always charge more money. But you can't go into this half-cocked. You can't go into it thinking, I've been in the cleaning business for 15 years. Well, so what? You're sucking dirt out of the carpet. That has nothing to do with what you're going to do. You don't clean right to begin with. Yeah. And if you don't clean right, well, it's like probably 90% of the cleaners out there don't vacuum before they clean. You know, that's kind of like step one, you know?
That's interesting. So how profitable is this? If a carpet cleaner decides to get into this, I suspect, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the commercial side, that's a pretty sizable undertaking, I would imagine. I mean, residential and maybe, retail, small retail. How profitable are we talking about?
I would say all of them are going to be very profitable. The difference is that if you're going to go into a large building, like you go down into Atlanta and you work in one of those large buildings, you better know what you're doing, right? Because there are going to be lawyers just sitting there, just waiting. I can guarantee when this is all over, lawyers will have work for the next 10 years, right? So you better know what you're doing in there. And when you know what you're doing, then you can charge the right amount of money. But I would also make sure that, number one, I have a legal contract. And we, in our industry, we have one gentleman who, that's his specialty in our industry, is writing the contract for this type of thing. Second part is you better have an insurance company that is specializing in this also, because that's where they're going to go after. And if they know that you've got the contract and you're very cautious about what you said you can do, then you're going to be good. Then you can charge whatever you want. But if you all of a sudden made a claim like, I disinfected this, well, prove it to us. You can't prove it, because the virus is not a living material. And when we have tools out there, they're called ATP meters, which we can swipe along your desk or even take your cell phone, and we can swipe that with a little swab, and it goes right into your little, looks like a phone, and it'll read out a numerical thing, say like 982. And after you've cleaned it, it may say 23, right? That proved to us that we removed a lot of different things such as bacteria and soil, but it doesn't tell us anything about viruses, right? And so that's why we can only use it relative. So in other words, relatively, yes, it was at 1,000 and I got it down to 20. So I did a good job, but I didn't disinfect. I can't prove I disinfected.
I would say having
at least for the coronavirus.
Yeah. It sounds like having an insurance policy is awfully important.
Yep. Your two most important people after your technical learning is your lawyer and your insurance man.
I see. Now, okay, our friend, the carpet cleaning contractor, decides he's going to get into this business and be a sanitation contractor. What does it cost him to outfit himself to do that? And I suspect that means you have several people doing this, I imagine.
Actually, Dave, it's not very expensive. If you look, you're going to need your disinfecting type products. I mean, I'm going to skip over that they already have their carpet cleaning truck and that type of equipment for basic cleaning.
Yeah.
Now all we're doing is really adding some sort of sprayers, whether they're foggers. The big one now is the electrostatic machines, which you see on every airplane commercial. And just some gloves, Tyvek suits, and those types of things. So you're talking about probably, you know, if you're talking about one person in one outfit, $1,000.
Really?
You know, now if you have a large company and you got 20 different guys doing it, then of course you got But then it's all relative on that.
$1,000 per person doing it.
Yes.
Plus the training.
Yes, plus the training, yeah.
And, of course, I'm sure, I don't know, in terms of training, I've been to enough seminars in the carpet cleaning area that it seems like there are some people that are, you know, have been exposed to training for years and years, but I imagine the bulk of people out there that are carpet cleaning contractors have probably never been to a seminar.
I agree totally. It's a really sad situation because our industry is relatively easy to get into, and because everybody thinks that, well, my mom made me clean the place when I was a kid, so what do I need to know? It's amazing what they don't know. And it's amazing when somebody after 20 years comes to their first class, and sometimes they just sit back and go, well, what are you going to tell me? You know, and then you see them just kind of looking like, oh, really? So I've been doing that wrong. Yes. And I know I'm jaded. I'm an instructor, you know, but I can tell you that I was a cleaner before I was an instructor, and I wouldn't want anybody that saw me clean in my first year or so bring that up to me today. We make the best instructors because we did all the things you shouldn't do, and that's why we tell people don't do this. I know what happens when you do that.
Yeah. So what can talk about what a cleaning contractor normally would charge, a range perhaps, for carpet cleaning, and then what they could charge in addition if they were a sanitation contractor.
Okay. Well, let's start with the residential first. I would say that if they're just cleaning carpet, we're going to talk about somewhere between 20 and 40 cents a square foot. Okay. Now, if we get into let's say that they're going to fog the environment or use an electrostatic sprayer, all of a sudden now we get into more almost like a cubic footage. And what's interesting, if you look at industry bulletin boards, like Facebook for cleaners or that, every day you got somebody posting, I'm going to fog this much. How much should I charge? And you get you'll get anywhere from a penny a cubic foot to 20 cents a cubic foot. And all of a sudden, you know, you had these vast arrays because these guys are just, if I told you right now, charge 20, you go, okay. For the rest of the industry, maybe the people that know what they're doing, maybe charging 2 cents, you know, but too often they go in there. And if it goes back to what you said earlier, Dave, about a large building, you know, you're in downtown Atlanta, those people know what they should be getting charged, right? And so when you get into a smaller, let's say you go into Dalton and you go into a building that's 3 stories high, all right? And you go in there, or say like the CRI building or something, you know, all of a sudden they don't really know what it's going to be. And there's nobody there that's really a huge facility manager that studies all this. Then they could get charged a lot more than they should. And so it's remember the old vacation movie of Chevy Chase, and he blows off all the tires and he goes to that guy, and you know, he's out in the middle of nowhere, and he says, so how much that'll be? And he said, how much you got? No, how much is it? He goes, and I asked you how much you got. It's kind of the same situation, right? So you got to be very careful. And I hate to sound like I am just saying that our industry is full of thieves and robbers. We have a few, just like every industry, right? But there, some of them do it because they just don't know. And some do it because they're trying to get the money while the getting's good.
So has there been just a crowd of people that have, who have been, you know, cleaning, carpet cleaning contractors that are getting into this as we speak?
Oh, yes. If you knew how many people we have lined up for buying electrostatic sprayers, right, which is the easiest one, and it's because so many consumers now have seen them spraying, the different planes. And so they just say, well, that must be the tool, you know, and yet we're trying to tell them, you know, unless you know what you're doing, we really prefer you don't even buy one, you know, but we can't stop them from buying it, but I can guarantee they're lined up for it.
It's interesting. It's a head trip. I mean, when you go out and you talk to, say, a consumer, and they're interested in having this treatment done in their house.
Yes.
What they think they need is not what they really need. Exactly. And that's the hard part to, you know, I guess it's easier just to do it and charge them than it is to educate them.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part. If you are a good cleaning company, you've got a book of business that you've had for many years, most of your consumers, I think, will listen to you. And if you say, well, I really like to have this done, I just feel better, I say, Mrs. Jones, we'd be glad to do this for you, but we really don't think it's necessary, you know, because of the fact that we know that this virus is like washing your hands, a good cleaning and detergent will take care of it. And if you'd like, while I'm here, I'll go ahead and treat your common surfaces and that, and your door handles and that, but and then that'll take care of it, but you really don't need it anymore. But if you want it, we'll do it for you.
And if you've been the contractor that's been cleaning their carpet all these yes. years, they're yes. going to believe you.
Yes.
Because
and part of it, Dave, is as we well know, the story seems to change occasionally. I mean, you know, with all the things with the CDC and the EPA changing things, and it's difficult to really convince people. And I think part of what we're worried about now is that people don't know what to trust. And so I think the relationship, whether you're in that 40-story building in downtown Atlanta or in Mrs. Jones' living room, you got to depend on the fact that if you've been doing well with these people over the years, they are going to believe you.
Yeah.
We know that people want to know that you're taking care of them. And if you got some brand new guy who's just trying to figure out how to look, and he's looking at the instructions about how to do this as he's doing it, you're in trouble.
I hear you. How about cleaning hard surface? Now, this is not necessarily involving COVID, but yeah. I know that a lot of carpet cleaning people now are cleaning grout and tile and hard surface. How widespread has that become?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we know that especially whether it's residential or commercial, that carpet has dropped down to less than 50% of the market out there for us. And so the LVT, LVP that's coming on so strong is it's so easy to clean. The problems that we run into right now is that too many people buy something that has a matte finish, and then all of a sudden they put it down, they go, I'd really like it to be shiny. And so somebody comes in and puts on a coating of finish, which that voids the warranty. And now it has to be treated like it was an old VCT tile, stripped and waxed. You know, I've worked a lot with one of the major manufacturers, and we've been doing a tremendous amount of classes right up until we had to stop here about post-construction cleanup and what a mess they're making in all these places because they do all the drywall and everything, and then they look and send somebody in with a mop to try and mop up these floors, and they make this slurry that gets down into all the crevices and everything, and then they complain to the manufacturer, look at your floor. You know, so we've been trying to go through and explain to them that post-construction cleanup, which tends to get a lot of people who, you know, the cheapest ones they can get, there are simple ways of doing this and simple tools that we have available today to take care of that. And it's once again, it's kind of like cleaning in the COVID, is that there are basics. We don't need to get exotic. We can do this relatively simply if you'll just let us help. And it's very disappointing at times. Those are beautiful floors, especially the hardwoods. I mean, you go into one of these nice homes that say $500,000 to $1 million, and you mess up that hardwood floor, that's going to make a bad deal. And most of these people, if I'm paying this much for a home, I don't want to hear anything, well, that's really not bad. So
yeah,
I just,
yeah,
$1 million for this home, I want it perfect.
So, what would you recommend people be aware of cleaning, you know, after they complete the installation? What sort of things should they be thinking about?
Well, I think what it is, especially on the LVT, LVP, it can be cleaned with the most simple of neutral cleaners, right? And the idea is just to make sure we get any dry soil. Hopefully after the home's been built or the apartment's been built, they don't run into this anymore. But you got to remember that carpet does a great job of filtering out soil, where for all the other hard surfaces, they don't. So, of course, whether you're using a Swifter or something else, it's a very simple thing to keep the dry soil off. If the dry soil accumulates and we get any kind of moisture on there, now we're getting back into that where it falls down into the crevices. it's a simple process. As a matter of fact, the cleaning industry, especially when we get into certain like homes, we almost think it's too easy, and that people think that's all there was to it, and I paid you to do that. And we go, yeah, that was pretty much it. It's a vinyl floor.
Are you seeing more people coming into the cleaning industry now than before, or is there always just about a steady number coming in?
I think there's always a steady number. I still think, and I know you and I have talked about this, I think the franchises are going to continue to get stronger. I think as we go into it, there are retailers, manufacturers that are going to want to be able to deal with somebody who maybe can take care of the country. So you're talking Shaw or Mohawk or that, they want to talk to one person. I got this problem in Tacoma. I got it in Tupelo. They want to be able to talk to you and say, you got somebody there that's good. Yes, we do. Right. And that's what I think where it's going to benefit them. Because as much of the product as they're putting out, they don't have the time to go, oh, I need to find somebody in Montana. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. So are there organizations that can pretty much cover the whole country?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, for us, of course, IICRC, which is what approves us for all of our certifications, they always have a database that basically people have been certified. But you can use them. You could use a franchise if you know the good franchise. You know, back in the day, you know, I worked at Bank Clean, and that was one of the main things we did, was hooking up, and we knew those people on a personal basis, you know, so it was tough. You knew, and it's still at John Don, we do the same thing. Because I've been in the carpet industry a long time, I still get a lot of people still call me and ask me, do I know somebody in a certain area? And I'll tell them if I do, or I'll check with our office and get one of the people that takes care of national accounts, and I'll say, do you know this person? I don't want to just know that you sold them something in 1989. I want to know, do you know this? Because I'm putting my name on the line here when I tell them that they will get helped.
You see, well, there are franchises across the country.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you see consolidation in such a way that there would be at some point in the future one organization that would have locations, you know, a good part of the country anyway?
I would say on the restoration side, Dave, because those are the bigger ones, the ServPros of the world, Service Masters, those types. I see those, yes, for restoration, but I don't see it for cleaning. I think the restoration firms, the business people that run those have a lot more money, right? They're able to do this in a lot more regimented fashion. When we get into cleaning, you start talking about more janitorial type companies. There's such turnover there. It's hard to say that those people, you can trust whoever it is throughout the country. Whether, regardless of the name of the franchise, it still comes down to the individual person that you're sending out.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Well, and it is an education-based industry. I mean,
yes.
Like you say, you go in, you have to know what the fiber is in the carpet that you're cleaning, I suppose. And, you know, that requires some education. And, okay, if it's X, now what do I do? So, I mean, it is an education-based industry.
Some of the calls I get, Dave, that, you know, because if it's a technical call that one of our people on the phones can't handle, sometimes they'll just pass it on to my cell phone. And I'll go through it and I'll just go, really? Really? Yeah, that's... Especially when it gets into rugs and upholstery, you know. When you think about carpet, good old everyday synthetic carpet, it's really hard to mess it up. It really is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you may have a little issue, but nothing that's permanent. When you get into silk rugs or, you know, different types of upholstery, oh, gosh, it's a nightmare.
Oh, my God. Well, I appreciate the education, Bill. You've been very educational, and I mean that's what you are. You are the training facilitator.
That's right. I'm a facilitator.
thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Right?
Yes, sir. We've been talking with Bill Yaden. He is training facilitator at John Don, and this is Talk Floor TV.